Bible. Say, I am.
I am.
What it says I am.
I can do.
What it says I can do.
I am a believer.
Not a doubter.
I am a doer.
Not just a hearer.
And my life
is the better
after having heard
the word of faith.
Faith cometh by hearing.
And hearing.
And hearing by
the word of God.
All right, all right.
Well, we are in our series entitled, I Know I Can.
Everybody say, I know I can.
All right,
I want you to go dual text, Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 13th verse, and Romans, the 5th chapter and the 1st verse.
Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 13th verse, Romans, the 5th chapter and the 1st verse.
And we're going to get right into it,
so we'll go right to Philippians 4 and 13
in our faith refresher
entitled, I Know I Can.
It says, I have strength
for all things in Christ who empowers me.
I am ready for anything
and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me.
I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency.
Everybody say, I know I can.
And that's what the writer is saying, that in Christ I can do this.
He said, I am ready for anything.
I'm equal to anything
through him who infuses inner strength into me. As long as Jesus is on the boat, my boat cannot sink.
Does that make sense?
And so, you know, you're going to go through some things. We understand many are the affliction of the righteous.
But as a person of faith that lives by faith, I know how to take a licking and keep on ticking.
You got it?
And so that is really the key.
You've got to understand that when quitting is not an option, victory is inevitable.
So not only, watch this, not only do we live by faith, but we win by faith.
Everybody say, I live by faith,
and I win by faith.
1 John says, for this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
So it is my faith that's going to cause me to overcome.
It is my faith that's going to cause me to win in life.
That is why I must have a discipline to live my life in faith, regardless of anything that comes, anything that goes, any challenges that may arise in my life. I must always live by faith and not by emotions.
Emotions will always make me make wrong choices, make bad turns. You got it?
And so it's vitally important that I don't live by my emotions.
You always hear me say, get your emotions, put them in your back pocket, right?
Right, because has anybody besides me ever made bad choices out of emotions?
All of us in the room, right?
And so we see that emotions don't really get us anywhere, but it is my faith that will cause me to win in life.
Now go with me to Romans, the 5th chapter and the 1st verse.
The 5th chapter and the 1st.
So I know I can. I know I can win in life. I know I can win in my marriage. I know I can win in my finances.
I know I can win with my children.
I know I can win in my health.
I know I can because I understand that to the degree I will walk out this word, which is infallible, that it cannot change, and it is true, then I will see God do amazing things in my life.
Everybody say, I know I can.
And that has to be a discipline for you. Like you have to, regardless of how big the obstacle is, you just got to make it up in your mind. I don't care how big it is. I know I can.
You got it?
Because it's not, watch this, it's not through me, but it's through him who infuses this strength in me.
Right? Romans 5 and 1. Let's go there.
He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
So the writer says that we are justified or declared right through faith.
So really, when I'm walking by faith and I'm believing God for certain things and I'm living my life this way, I'm coming to church, I've given my life to Christ, I'm walking out this word, I'm serving, I'm giving, you got it, I'm living by, I don't owe any man any answers about anything.
Does that make sense?
Well, I don't see why you don't. No, I'm justified by faith. And because I'm justified by faith, the writer says that I have peace with God.
And so you got to understand, there are so many benefits to living by faith.
I'm declared right. You got it.
I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, but I also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand.
We're going to talk about this down the road, this whole grace factor, that there is a grace that is on you to reign in life in the season that you're in.
You've got to understand that no matter what comes, no matter what goes, even though it took you by surprise, it hasn't taken God by surprise,
and God already knows what he's going to do.
One of the things that he's already done is he's put a grace on you.
You got it, to handle whatever situation you might be facing in life.
So when you see it and it looks bad, the first thing you have to say is, I'm grace for this.
Everybody say, I'm grace for this.
You know, kids start acting, woo!
You got to say, I'm grace for this. You got it. Spouse start acting, woo-wee. You got to say, I'm grace for this. You got it. Yeah, the job is going crazy. I'm grace for this. You got it. I ain't going upside nobody's head. I'm not emotionally going to quit my job because I need to pay my bills. You understand? Now, because don't forget, you ask God for that job. Oh, see, you don't want to go with me there. God, Lord, please, in the name of Jesus, I'm thinking my application rises to the top. Am I telling the truth? Yeah, and you get it, right? You got it. And then there's just going to be opposition. That's just how that is. And what you don't understand is just not on that job. You leave that job and go to another job, it's going to be opposition. So if you're at a job that's a pretty good environment and you're getting paid, well, don't you jump up and go somewhere. Yeah, hello, somebody. You know, don't pray for favor and give it back. Praise the Lord. That's all right. Yeah. That's what we do. We pray for favor. You got this job is just what I needed. Can I go a little further? This church is just what I needed. The pastor was amazing until you didn't like something. That husband, Lord, give me him as my husband. That's who I want. That's the man of my dreams. And God gives him to you. And then y'all start living together and finding out that y'all are two imperfect people trying to live in an imperfect world, but trying to follow a perfect Bible. You understand what I'm saying? You got it? I'm so sick and tired of you praying. The Lord said, you prayed for him. I gave you what you asked for. Praise the Lord. I hear you. What about the wife, y'all? Yeah, I understand. Yeah. I ain't going to say nothing about that. I'm going to leave that one low. Leave that one low. Hey, brother, y'all better not get yourself in trouble. That's all I know. See, I'm really trying to help you out. Yeah, something you just got to pray on. All right. It's going to get better. You know, I can't go this way because, I think one of the toughest things in marriage is, in marriage, the whole goal is to get to here. But one spouse thinks I need to go around this way to get here, and the other spouse thinks I need to go around this way to get, and that's where the friction comes. And what you don't understand is you both want the same thing. You got it? And so instead of fussing and fighting and you make me sick and all those kind of things, you got it? If you're at a point or a place of disagreement, you must be prayerful. You got it? I'm serious. You must be prayerful. I know we've been laughing and joking, but you have to be prayerful and don't make your own move because you're not your own boss. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so I was talking to somebody the other day about a totally different subject, but I said, you can't do big by yourself. Everybody needs somebody. I'll make it on my own. You got it? All right, praise the Lord. So, verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. That means trouble. I don't put my head down in trouble. I lift my head up, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Hope is my expectation. It is my anchor to faith. As long as I have hope, my faith cannot drift away. All right? And so I've got to understand that my hope is in Jesus, because he is my hope. Right? All right. So we live by faith and we win by faith. Romans 1:17, you all know it. We've been quoting it, that the just shall live by faith. Those that are saved, those that are giving their lives to Christ, those that, are declared righteous, not because of anything we have done, but because of everything that he has done, that we live by faith. The same faith that I live by, that I believe that saved me, is the same faith that I believe that God will heal me. It's the same faith that I believe that he'll set me free. It's the same faith that I believe that he'll cause my finances to go to the next level. It is the same faith. Does that make sense? When we begin to look at Hebrews 11:1, which I think is one of the best faith, scriptures, because it's the whole hall of faith. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. How, class? By the word of God, seeing that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. That's all. That's great, and I could break that down, but I want to go a little bit further, and I didn't give it to them because I broke it down a little bit different, and it'd be hard for you to really follow, so I just want you to listen. But this is why I love the scripture, because it is a blessing for me when I read and see what others went through, knowing if they went through it and got through it, what I'm going through is not half as bad as what they went through, so I'm going to be all right. Listen to this. Verse 4 says, by faith, Abel. And verse 5 says, by faith, Enoch. And verse 7 says, by faith, Noah. And verse 8 says, by faith, Abraham. And verse 11 says, through faith, Sarah. And verse 20 says, by faith, Isaac. And verse 21 says, by faith, Jacob. And verse 22 says, by faith, Joseph. And verse 23 says, by faith, Moses. And verse 31 says, by faith, the harlot. Yes, the harlot, Rahab. And verse 32 says, and what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and the prophets and James MacIver, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if they went through it and they got through it and there was their persecution was way more than the little bit of persecution we go through. Hello, somebody. You got to understand that you can win by faith. Does that make sense? They all overcame by faith. And that is how we overcome. We overcome by faith. We don't overcome by feelings. We don't overcome by emotions. We don't overcome by, I just need to go and have a go out with the girls and have a fun time. You know, have a good, and you think that's going to fix it. That doesn't fix it. That's temporary. You understand what I'm saying? Nothing wrong with going out, but I'm just saying that does not fix it. What fixes it is my faith. All right. Now, if I'm going to overcome, I have to have a resolve or conviction. Everybody say resolve or conviction. And I have to have a resolve that I'm going to do it God's way. We already said that if we'll do it God's way, we'll get God results. Isn't that right? And so there's a few things I wanted to talk to you about when it comes to my resolve. Letter A, my resolve is beyond compromising excuses. So I don't make excuses. I make it happen. You got it? I live by faith and I win by faith. Excuses are an exemption from responsibility and a crutch for the uncommitted. Excuses are an exemption from responsibility and a crutch from the uncommitted. So my conviction is beyond any excuse. I'm not going to make any excuse. You got it? I'm thinking, you know, God told me one thing and I want to do something else. And now I'm going to say, God said, I'm not going to do any of that. You got it? I'm going to stay focused. I'm going to stay in faith. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. I'm going to confess this word and I am going to see results. See, sometimes when you're in a faith fight, one of the problems is sometimes when you get in a faith fight, you don't get mad enough. No, when people talk about you, you get mad. When people run you down, you get mad. Somebody want to try to fight you and they come at you, you get mad, don't you? Well, how about getting mad at the devil for trying to come against you or your family or your finances or your health, and you got to tell the devil, no, enough's enough. I ain't taking that. Does that make sense? All right. So letter B, my resolve to overcome is beyond camaraderie encouragement. If nobody encourages me like David, I'll encourage my own self. Does that make sense? You got it. If you know, somebody walked by and didn't say hi, and maybe I felt that they should have, then, I'm not going to lose it. You got it? You know, matter of fact, I was in the office getting ready, and they asked me to come out because they wanted me to check some things, and I kind of felt bad because I was passing a whole lot of people, and you know that's not my nature. My nature is to stop, hug everybody, but in that moment, I was trying to work, and I almost don't like being in work mode when I'm around everybody because I don't ever want anyone to take it the wrong way. You got it, but if pastor was to pass you and didn't hug you, how many know pastor still loves you? Isn't that right? Yeah. All right. All right. Letter C. My resolve to overcome is beyond circumstantial evidence. It is beyond circumstantial. It doesn't matter what it looks like. I believe the word of God. So my criteria is always the word of God. My criteria is never what it looks like. We read last week, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. So I'm never moved by what I see. I'm only moved by what I believe, and I believe the word. I believe God. I believe the Bible. I believe that if he said it, he's going to do it. If he spoke it, he's going to bring it to pass. If it says I'm healed, I'm healed. No questions asked. If it says I'm blessed, I'm blessed. No questions asked. You understand what I'm saying? And so it is beyond circumstantial evidence. I don't have to see it to believe it. I believe it because it's in his word. Isn't that right? All right. And then let's keep moving. Letter D. It is beyond convenient effort. It is beyond convenient effort. I may have to do something I wasn't planning on doing. Yeah, I might have to fight longer than I was planning on fighting. You got it? I might have to give up something that I wasn't planning on giving up right now, but it's okay if you give it up right now. On the other side, there's victory, and God always makes up the difference. Does that make sense? And you got to understand, sacrifice sets in motion the supernatural power of God. It gets God's attention, and it causes him to move. And it's beyond convenient effort. Let me tell you what really gets people here beyond this convenient effort. When you start doing something, watch this, that you really don't want to do, if you're not careful, your attitude shifts. Yeah. You ever seen a Christian with an attitude? They keep, look at me. Don't look at anybody else. Look at me. Yeah. You ever, you know, seen a Christian just throw a straight up temper tantrum because they couldn't get what they want? We're just going to leave all that alone. But you have to understand, God is not moved. I won't talk about y'all, talk about me. God is not moved by my temper tantrums. God is not moved by my attitude. God is not moved by the fact that I'm starting to back up because I don't agree with this and I don't believe. God ain't moved by any of that. He is only moved by my faith. Does that make sense? All right. All right. Amen. Letter E. It is beyond the critic's embellishment. It is beyond the critic's embellishment. Now, persecution, it just has to be endured. That's the bottom line. You know, somebody is not going to like you. You got to get over that. Somebody is going to talk about you. You got to get over that. Somebody going to say something they shouldn't say because that's just the world that we live in. And I'm not just talking about sinners. I'm talking about Christians. You got it. And so you can't, watch this, you can't allow that to steal your joy. I don't let anything steal my joy. This is the way I figure. I figure you didn't light my candle, so since you didn't light my candle, you can't blow it out. I figure the joy, you got it, that I have, the world didn't give it to me. And so since the world didn't give it to me, the world can't take it away. So my joy is never based on a circumstance. My joy is never based on a trial, an affliction. You got it? My joy is not even based on something good that comes my way. I thank God for all that, but that's not based on my joy. My joy is based on who he is. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You got it? And so my joy, watch this now, my joy is never based on circumstantial things. My joy is based on that my Redeemer lives. And as long as my Redeemer lives, I don't have a problem he can't solve. I don't have a situation he can't fix. I don't have a sickness he can't. Look at your neighbor and say, are you paying attention? Are you listening to this young man? Yeah. Check your neighbor and make sure you're not sleeping. Some people sleep with their eyes wide open. So persecution is only effective to the degree that you need acceptance from the one talking. If you don't need acceptance, it don't matter. And why are you going to lose it for somebody, you know, that says something about you but they ain't paying your bills? I could never understand that. Like, last time I checked, I'm the only one that paid City of New Bern all these years. And they sure ain't paid my mortgage. You understand? They ain't paid my car note. You understand? Have not bought anything that I have in my house, furniture, food, clothes, or anything. So why would I give somebody that kind of power in my life? Does that make sense? And so you can't do that. You can't do it. Can I go a little further? All right. Look, watch this. Watch this. If I start acting a fool this afternoon, my wife ain't going to lose her joy. She ain't going to lose it. You understand what I'm saying? Because the joy that she has, see, y'all got to get this. You got to get this. Because the joy that she had didn't come from James McIver. The joy she had came from Jesus Christ. So she understands, okay, we in a predicament, but I ain't going to lose my joy. Because if I lose my joy, I'm going to lose my mind. If I lose my mind, I'm going to end up in jail. Y'all understand, like, kind of where it goes, right? Yeah. And so you can't lose. Don't allow anybody to have that kind of power in your life. No, I'm not going to, you know, there are times where I hear something and initially it will, you know, bother me. I'm like, okay, man, come on, you know, and then the enemy, it ain't even God. The enemy will start reminding you how much you've done for that person and that kind of thing. But you have to cast all that away. It don't matter because everything I did as unto the Lord and not unto man. So anytime anybody does anything, got it, it's all covered under the blood because I choose for it to be covered under the blood. You got, and I'm using me because I didn't want to put you on it, but I'm really telling you that's how you need to do it. Does that make sense? All right, all right, all right. So you must learn how to take a licking and keep on ticking. That's the bottom line. You got it? The Bible says that many are the afflictions of the, you're going to go through some things. But we don't have to go through what they went through in the Bible. You got, ain't nobody chopping nobody's head off. Ain't nobody going to prison. You understand what I'm saying? Thank God for the government, the USA. You got it, what I'm saying? Ain't nobody going to do nothing to you. All right? Praise the Lord. All right. So now that I've gotten through this, you got it, through that point, my resolve is there. I've got a conviction, you got it? I've got this conviction, and now I'm expecting a move of God in my life. Now, there are some things that I must respect to see a move of God in my life. So some things I must respect. Let's go through those real quick. Thing I must respect, letter A, I must respect the process of faith. Everybody say the process of faith. Everything about God is a process. Things don't happen overnight. They happen over time. So I'm not going to get upset if it doesn't happen as quick as I want it to. Does that make sense? So does the Bible say be anxious for nothing? Right? Isn't that what it says? Okay, I'll take it to the scripture if you need me to. But the Bible says be anxious for nothing. So I've got to understand that I don't need to be fast about anything. Right? Be anxious for nothing. Everything about God is a process. In patience, possession your soul. All right, here we go. Letter B. Letter B. Everybody say the principles of faith. I don't have to go over this one. I've been teaching on this the whole time. This is how we live. We live by faith and we win by faith. All right, let's go to letter C. Everybody say proclamation of faith. All right, we've been talking about that. Matter of fact, last Sunday we did a whole thing on the component of confession. I am going to have what I say. So I must watch what I say. Isn't that right? Okay, let's go to the next one. Letter D, protocols of faithfulness. Oh, now that's a good one right there. Well, I might stay there 90 seconds. Protocols of faith. It is a faithful man that abounds with blessings. It is. See, people don't see. This is one thing people don't get. People look at me and they just say, "Oh, God just did it." No. Mac has something to do with it too. You understand what I'm saying? You know, a preacher helped me with that. We were building this building and we got through, and I was just giving all the glory to God, which we should do. You got it. I said, "Oh, man, God has just been so faithful." And he said it. And when he said it, he wasn't just saying it. It was almost like he was saying it prophetically. He said, "That's because you've been faithful." You got it. And so we are workers together with God. And so you have to understand, watch this, that a faithful man, that's not gender specific, or woman as the case may be. We were all sons of God. You got it. Children of God. And so a faithful man is the one that abounds with. I have never done anything at 60%. Even if I didn't feel like doing it. That's not me. I'm always going to do it at 110. You understand? And so even in tough seasons, even in challenging seasons, in 10 years, I'm sure there have been some challenging Sundays for me. But you didn't know it. Isn't that right? Because I walk right up here like I always do. I got a smile on my face like I always do. I say, "Good morning. How's everybody doing?" Y'all say, "Better than ever." I get up, I teach the word and those kind of things because I understand that it is a faithful man that abounds with blessings. God, I'm always going to give you my everything. Anytime you shortchange God, you're not really messing up God, but you're messing up yourself. That's good teaching right there. Whether you say amen or not, I know what I'm talking about. Until I change my attitude, Jesus, you got it? Because, I use my children. If my children get an attitude, don't bother me. Amen, parents? You just need to fix it. Isn't that right? You got it? And if you go too long, you know, without fixing it, I'll help you fix it. Right? Right? Yeah. Well, God is the same way. So, you know, we get a temper. "Man, maybe I can't do what I want to do." God's like, "I'm the Lord. I don't change. I'm not moved." That's how God is. You got it? Now, when you get done, you know, and you go and you repent, God says, "Okay, now I can keep on helping you." And so we've got to understand that, all right? So it is the protocols of faith. So anything, even, let's use the dream team. I got to go. But anything you're doing here on the dream team, you're on the worship team, you're ushering, you're greeting, you're back in the media, you're on the parking lot, you're not doing it as unto the pastor. You're not doing it as unto the lady. You're doing it as unto the Lord. And the Bible says he's the one that repays. But I submit to you, the only way he repays is if my heart is right toward whatever I'm doing. So I could cancel the blessing in my life by doing it with the wrong attitude. Does that make sense? Amen. No, because you can look at things different ways. You got it? Like my smiling ushers. They don't get upset because I say my smiling ushers. Isn't that right? It's just a reminder that, hey, guys, make sure you smile. Because, you know, I got all these big, robust dudes. You understand what I'm saying? You know, and it can be intimidating, especially, you know, if you're a newer person comes in, you got it. Yeah, you know, and you know, and they're not smiling. They're like, no, of course, that's not our culture. Anyways, you know that. You got it. But no, they understand. Okay, that's right. Pastor said, we that's right. That's what we do. When I talk about the guys in the parking lot, how they speak to everyone, you know, hey, good morning, how you doing? They're like, oh, we got to speak because Pastor said, good morning, how y'all doing? It's the wrong attitude. And so when I pray, you got it, I just pray. I thank you for the dream team, that they're going to come early, prayed up with a good attitude. Because I understand you coming early, prayed up with a good attitude, you're going to be a blessing to the people that are coming, and God's going to be a blessing to you. Does that make sense? I have always been a blessing to people. Always. I have always given 110%. Always. You got it? So watch this. The manifestation that you look at in my life is not because I'm just a smart guy. Does that make sense? Because a lot of people, oh yeah, he just smart. He no, 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 no. You got to understand, it is much more than that. I'm operating this spiritual principle, you got it, that everything I do with all my might. Ain't that what Colossians 3 says? Yeah, and so because I do with all my might, I put my heart into it, God has no choice but to say, I got to do something for that boy. That's the way it works. You got it? So the next time you got to come early, you come early, I'm ready to go. I pray, Father, I thank you that I'm ushering this morning. And when I usher, Father, I thank you that the presence of God will be all over me. You got it? I thank you that I'm going to impact somebody's life in an amazing way today. All right, I got to keep going. I did not get to where I thought I was going to go. All right, let's go to letter E, the possibilities of faith. Possibilities of faith. If I can believe, all things are possible. Isn't that right? All right, letter F, possession of faith. Possession. Pastor, what do you mean, possession of faith? No. This is what I mean, that I got it by faith and I keep it by faith. No, you got to hear this. That's why you can't start backing up in faith or you'll lose what you have. Whatever you use to get something is what you have to use to keep something. Isn't that right? Yeah. And so that's a principle. You got it? And so if I use my faith for this and for this and for this, and I start backing up in faith, you got it, and I start changing, you know, some things, then watch this. If I'm not careful, not God, but I will talk myself right out of the things that I were believing for and came into possession into my life. It was I want to be real vague when I say this, but I want to, I can say this, okay. I remember one time somebody or organization, and this is not knocking anybody, but I just noticed they were starting to back up, and I got concerned. They didn't do anything wrong, but you can just tell when people are starting to back up, just like in church. I can tell when some of y'all are starting to back up. I can't. I'm praying for two or three of y'all right now. Praise the Lord. I really am. You in the room. I might as well just tell you, you know, because I'm praying. Because, see, I understand that if you back up, it don't affect me. Because God going to do it. So really, it's for you and not so much for me. See, I'm pastoring this morning. This ain't even about a faith lesson. I got the pastor this morning. So I'm because now I'm saying, you know, this is affecting you and it's affecting your family. Does that make sense? Yeah. But I noticed the person was backing up, trying to talk to the person. Oh, yeah, doc, everything good. Okay, but you used to always come to all the meetings. You don't come no more. Now when I talk about our man of God like I always do in a good way, you don't have much to say. So I can tell, you got it? And little by little, and the next thing you know, we didn't see them no more. And then when we did see them, they lost their building. They just lost all kind of things. And then he said, I got out of faith. And you can't get out of faith. Because if you got in faith to get all that stuff, you're going to have to stay in faith to keep all that stuff. Isn't that right? If Peter gets out of the boat, he's walking on water by faith. If he loses his faith and loses his focus, what does he do? He starts sinking. You got it. Look at your neighbor. Tell him, don't sing. You better not sing. All right. Oh, Jesus. Okay. All right. Things that will keep you from seeing this move of God in your life. Things that will keep you from seeing this move. Can I just talk you through this? All right. Number one, internal deficits. That's the sin factor. All right? We don't like to talk about sin. How many know we need to? Sin will take you places you don't want to go, leave you longer than you intended on staying, and make you start praying prayers that you should never pray. Lord, if you just get me out of this, I won't ever ask you for anything again. No, I'm not going to pray that prayer because I figure I am going to need him again. Maybe you don't think you're going to need him again. I know I'm going to need him again. All right? Jeremiah 5:25 says, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholding good things from you. Good things from you. So number one is internal the sin factor. So my sin can hold some. See, because, you know, I got, yeah, I'm just going to, I'm going straight past this morning. You got to make up your mind what side you on. You can't straddle the fence all your life. Because you straddle the fence and wait too long, you could end up in heaven or you could end up in hell. Isn't that right? But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Isn't that right? And so sometimes it's not God withholding things from me. I've got to understand it is my sins, you got it, that withhold good things from me. Anything, and people say, I ain't fornicating. No, anything that's not faith is sin. Your bad attitude, you're gossiping, you're running somebody down. Anything that's not faith is sin. Ain't that what the Bible says? Yeah, I meant to say ain't too, baby. All right, number two, external distractions. Here we go. Peter looked at the wind and it caused God's power to sustain him to be diminished. And whenever you take your focus, you got it, off of God, whenever you take your focus off of God, you got it, and start looking at other things. Watch this, good, bad, or indifferent. Does that make sense? Okay, let me use me. 10 years, we've been rolling. WLCC has been picking up momentum the whole time. Why? The whole time I keep looking unto Jesus. So I might look at this church and go, oh, man, that's a great idea. I'm going to pull that, but that's it. You got it. I might see something. No. But I'm not changing who I am. I'm not changing my culture. You understand what I'm saying? No. And so I'm not, oh, man, I want to be like them. No. I want to be like without limits. Does that make sense? And so, and you have to be like that in your own life because, you know, how can I say this? Why be a good copycat when you could be a great original? There is nobody in the world like James McIver Jr. Nobody. You got it? Nobody. So I could get up here, you got it, and try to act like my man of God. And I'm not knocking it because I love my man of God, you understand? But I can't try to get up here and do that, you got it, because that's not who I am. I can't get up here and try to act like Bishop Jakes. Because that's not who I am. I am James. Now, there's a grace that's on my man of God that is on me. So you might notice this in here. But it's not me trying to get up and be like him. I didn't even know that I said got it until people would tell me. You know, my mom is the one that told me. She said, you sound just like Bishop Hilliard. I'm like, really? Because I was preaching for this years ago. They're like, yeah. She's like, you got it? And I was like, you got it. And then I heard myself one day. And I was like, oh, my goodness. That's not a bad thing. But I didn't get up trying to be like him. See, and that's actually a good person to model yourself after. But a lot of times you see these celebrities and these people on TV and the Kardashians. I don't even know if I said it right. You know what I'm saying? And all these other things. You got it. You want to be just like Oprah? No, you don't. Be who God has made you to be. Don't be a good copycat when you can be a great original. You got to learn to love who you are. You got it? And be who you are. You got it? Because nobody can do what you do like you do what you do when you get ready to do what it is that God has called you to do. You are fearfully and wonderfully made just the way you are. You are the apple of his eye. God loves you right there just the way you are right now. You got it? If you don't have to buy the outfit that you saw online, if you buy it, great, but that's not going to make you who you are. You understand? You ain't got to get your hair did like they got their hair did because that's the newest style. If you do, that's okay. But that does not make you who you are. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he... Jesus, I'm teaching this thing. You got to know that I am who I am because of the way Christ has made me. You got it? And when you understand that, you have a confidence, you got it, that it don't matter. You got it? You know, typically when I walk in a room with a whole bunch of preachers, I'm the shortest guy in the room. But when I walk in, I feel like I'm the tallest guy. I really do. And not in arrogance, but I'm cool. Yeah. And I say this to everybody. You got it. I'm talking to guys, you know, and I'm like, hey, what's up, man? That's like my thing. You got it. And so some they'll pick when I come through. Hey, what's up, man? That's okay. Because that's me. You got it. And so, you know, be who you are. External distractions. All right? That's a good place. That's a good place to shut it down. That's a good place to say, give the Lord a big hand praise. Even in a bad situation, he's the God of victorious reversals. Peter began to sink, but he called on Jesus, and Jesus stepped in. Isaiah told Hezekiah, you're going to die. Hezekiah turns his face to the wall. God adds 15 years. Victorious reversals. Mary and Martha, their brother Lazarus dies, but Jesus raises them up. He's the God of victorious reversals. The doctor told the woman with the issue of blood, we can't do nothing for you, but Jesus said, I can. Victorious reversals. Jairus' servant told him, don't trouble the master anymore. The girl is gone. Jesus, oh, shh, only believe. Victorious reversals. That's why the church you go to and the words you hear really does make a difference. Being in an environment of faith, around people of faith, will help produce your faith so you get the victory, and not in some areas, but in every area of your life. See, sometimes y'all just need a good push. Yeah, including me. That's why I leave here and I go and I sit at the feet of my man of God. But sometimes we just need a good push. Yeah. Naaman needed a push. Yeah. Because he got an attitude. Yeah, he did. I thought at least the man of God would come out and see about me. And the servant said, well, if he'd asked you to do something robust, you'd have jumped at it. Thank God for the servant that gave him a push. You got it. Abraham needed a push. So God took him to the stars and said, you count the stars. If you be able to number them, so shall thy seed be. Abraham never asked God about that again. He went from not being the father of any to being the father of many. Sometimes you just look at your neighbor. Sometimes you just need a push. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Peter needed a push. Jesus, we toiled all night. You can use a boat. We toiled all night. He needed a push. Jesus said, Peter, go do what I tell you, boy. He went and had so much. You got it? He went and he had so much. He had to call his partners to come all get in. Sometimes you just need a push. And I'm the guy to be your push. I'm your faith coach. I'm your cut man. You got it? Y'all know what a cut man is, right? Yeah. Cut man is when you're in the fight, he stays over in the corner and he's figuring out what's going on. You got it? And after you get out of that round, you come back to the corner and he starts, you know, fixing you up and putting stuff on you and telling you, okay, hey, next time don't bob left, bob right. You understand what I'm saying? He's giving you instructions. He's making sure, you know, he's getting you ready to go back out into the fight again. So I can't fight for you, but I can be a good cut man. You got it. This is why you must understand you must have the discipline to live by faith. Because when I have a discipline to live by faith, the momentum of favor will shift in my life and I will be able to do what I could not do. Does that make sense? And so that is why. Let me give you my last scripture. I just couldn't hear you, that's all. I love this scripture. Amos 9 and 13. Y'all get blessed today? I went a different way, but I'm glad I did. I'm glad I did. Sometimes you need pastor just to slow down and be your pastor. Yeah. Sometimes you just, you know, and if you felt a little correction, you can't get upset. Isn't that right? Because you know whom the Lord loves, he corrects. And I ain't target nobody. Isn't that right? You got it. Yes, indeed. It won't be long now. So when I read that, I start thinking about things I'm believing for. I'm like, yeah, manifestation for today, it won't be long now. Healing in my body, it won't be long now. God's decree, not man's decree, but God's decree. He said, things are going to happen so fast, your head will swim. And I say, come on, Jesus, bring it on. Give me what you got. Like when the worship team sing, I said, come on, what you got? He says, one thing fast on the heels of the other. My God, today, you won't be able to keep up. That's the kind of blessings I want. Everything will be happening at once. And everywhere you look, blessings. Blessings like wine pouring off the mountains and hills. He says, I'll make everything right again for my people. And you got to get it made up in your mind. It won't be long now. The thing I'm believing for, it won't be long now. The thing I'm praying for, it won't be long for. I've been confessing a long time for this thing, but it won't be long now. So I got my mind made up. Got my heart fixed. I'm going to do what my man of God said. I'm going to stand still and be disciplined in faith. Have the right attitude and see what God does in my life. I'm out of time. Give the Lord a big hand, praise.